Welcome to another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. I'm your host, Mia Chantel, and this week I am so excited to be interviewing Jade Powell. Jade, how are you?
I'm good. Hello.
So, before we get into the discussions for today, I just want to kind of give a brief introduction of Jade and not necessarily run through all of her credentials, but just to kind of set the tone for the conversation for today. So Jade is a content marketer. She has, I believe, over a decade of experience. She has her own agency, M-Co, as well as other content related platforms like Weed for Black Women, Creator Tea Talk, that she really pushes out some of the most original and relevant content I have seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Her authenticity that she brings to her platforms is something that I've always admired. And I'm just very excited to jump into this conversation with a fellow millennial that is doing a damn thing. And she's mm-hmm. been able to do that with such, you know, effortlessness that I think you all are going to enjoy the conversation that we have lined up. I remember when you announced that you were leaving corporate America to start mm-hmm. your own business. Yeah. What made you decide to pivot into launching M-Co?
I was tired and exhausted working in corporate America. It's funny because I talked to other friends of mine who have also left corporate America to kind of go off and do their own things. But I feel what we all have in common is exhaustion.
Yes. And,
you know, I don't ever want to go on like a capitalist rant, but
please do.
I feel like corporate America is very equivalent to capitalism. How we structure our government is very similar to how we structure corporate America. We have a CEO, aka a president. We have a board of directors, aka our judiciary system. So, you know, our Congress, our Senate. And I'm just not a person that is interested in politicking. I have values that I deeply care about that are relevant to politics. But when it comes to work, I feel like corporate America requires a lot of politicking that I'm just simply not interested in.
Yeah.
And I also feel that corporate America's like culture is very rooted in male whiteness. And mm-hmm. I, as someone that is a Black woman, it just does not connect with me. And, you know, I think there are people of color, queer folks that can work in those environments. But I think for me, it was at the detriment of my own mental and physical health. And I just think I ultimately realized I don't want to do that shit anymore. So yeah. I decided to stop. And I was like, you know, I'm tired of being this person that is complaining about work all the time. I'm tired of feeling stressed and anxious in the environments that I'm working in. I don't really love my work. So why am I here? And I think ultimately I was just like, you know what? I need a change. And I think starting my own business was a logical step. One, because entrepreneurship was always my path. I just think I got caught up in corporate America along the way. Like, started my first business when I was in high school, and I knew that was something I always wanted to do. I just think like entrepreneurship at the time looked a lot different for me. I thought it was going into a company, working my way up, and then becoming one of their executive leaders. And I think over time, I was like, I actually don't want to do that. So, starting my agency kind of came out of my love for, you know, parts of the work that I did in my career, which was a social media marketing background. So deciding to start my own content and creative development agency made sense because I was just like, I just want to do work I enjoy. And that is the work I enjoy. Long-winded answer, but that was
very good, very good. So if someone is like interested in going down this path and they're just like, you know, fuck capitalism and the man, like mm-hmm. what is something that you wish you knew before mm-hmm. diving, you know, straight in? Or was this something that you had been kind of planning over time? And so mm-hmm. you were aligning those steps so that way, once you said you were done and this is what was going to be the future of, you know, just your work and career, mm-hmm. you had it lined up.
No, I did not have it lined up at all. I thought I was going to be in corporate America for the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Even if I had like started ventures outside of it, like I thought my end game was like being the executive at some, multi-million dollar corporation. And
Yeah.
it's funny to think about that now because I'm like, girl, be for real. I think what I wish I would have known sooner, which I think it's funny because I don't necessarily think of it as a regret, because
Yeah.
I think when you go through life, you just learn things when you need to learn it, and it's supposed to carry you on the path that you're already on. But I do think when I think about younger Jade, I do wish she knew how to establish boundaries at work, which is something I was very like naive to. I had no clue how to do that. I didn't even know what a boundary was. A lot of us don't, even in our like personal relationships. So definitely not
Yes.
at work. And I think, because I had no boundaries and I didn't really know how to advocate for myself or feel comfortable in advocating for myself, I just like allowed a lot of shit that I really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think ultimately I needed to go through that and experience what I experienced throughout my career to get me to the version of myself that I am now, that is a lot more comfortable establishing boundaries and being very, very vocal about what I will and will not do. So,
Which some of that kind of comes with time and maturity, but I totally get it.
yeah, it's
Okay.
like that. It's my favorite like clip. I don't know if you've seen that Insecure clip where, I forgot the character's name just now, just in the top of my head, where she's like, you know what that is? Growth.
Growth. Kelly.
Kelly, yes, thank you.
Growth.
I love Kelly. Yes. But that's literally her name, her real name is Natasha, right?
Yeah, Natasha Rothwell. Yep.
Yes. But that's exactly who I think about that all the time. It's like growth. Like I needed to start somewhere and learn along the way. So I'm
Yeah.
happy with where I am now.
Okay, I love that. So then where did the inspiration behind the name for your agency come? Like what does M-Dash Co come from, or how did you decide this is it? Because it's very unique.
Thank you. So it's so silly because it's just the name of my favorite punctuation mark. As a creator, I also write. And I noticed like throughout my writing style, I just loved how the M dash as a punctuation was like, it's very nerdy. It's like if you're into grammar, it's like as a style, it's like a stylistic choice for me. And then also just like the purpose of an M dash, what it does, like it can be, it can take the place of a colon mark, a punk, not a punctuation, a semicolon, a short dash, whatever that looks like, where you're trying to explain something. So it's funny to me because I often feel like when I'm even just like creating content or talking about the work that I do as a creative, it's like, yes, I can do all this, but there's more. And what comes after that, but I feel like can be a lot of things. And I feel
Yeah.
like the M dash is the connection to that.
Yes. It's like yes and.
Exactly.
Yeah,
So,
got you.
yeah, that was the inspiration. I just like, it's funny. I remember I had this tweet that I posted, and I was like, and this is a couple of years ago, I was like, there is something like very iconic about an M dash. And then I remember, I was like, I'm going to name my agency that.
I love it. That was manifestation. That was you manifesting it.
Manifestation through tweets.
Okay. So then, with having your own agency with M-Dash Co, how are you able to find the balance between running this business, but then also creator Tea Talk and then Weave for Black Women as social media platforms? Because Weave for Black Women, if I'm not mistaken, you kind of co-founded that with a friend.
Yeah, with my business partner. Yeah, my friends. It's funny because I don't know that I have balance. I think I do the best I can, to be honest. It's something my therapist and I talk at length about. So what does balance look like for the life of Jade Powell? And it's a very complicated thing for me to figure out because I do a lot. But I
Yeah.
also think there is a part of me that kind of thrives in that chaos, to be honest. I wish that wasn't the case, but I'm learning to just embrace it because it's just like, that's the world I come from. When I was working in corporate, I worked at so many startups or smaller agencies that were just kind of like, yeah, you're the social media manager, but you also got to be our email marketing manager. You have to be our web designer. You have to, like, and it's just like,
Okay.
was it stressful? Absolutely. But I think it gave me a skill set and a work ethic where now it's like I'm able to juggle a lot of things at once. But I will say, I also don't put too much pressure on myself to deliver. I think that's one of the great things about working for myself is that I don't have executives or managers in my ear telling me we have to accomplish this by the end of Q3 because if we
Yeah.
don't, gonna crumble. And it's like, I know when I need to get things done, or and I know when I can move things. So I think that's a really beautiful thing about being someone that owns her own business, is that I can say yes or no when I need to. And I'm very conscious about making sure that work doesn't take up like my entire life, because that's just not a life that I want to live, even if I enjoy my work. So setting boundaries with myself now in that way, again, back to boundaries, setting boundaries with myself. And then also, leaning on my community. Like, it was really exciting. I just wrapped up this project where I was working on a brand, and I was a social creative director. I brought in one of my friends who's an art director, and I was like, hey girl, be my teammate in this, because I don't want to do this alone. Mama's tired. It's like also having a community of other creatives that I know I can lean on, which is really beautiful. And I think that's also why I love having, my co-founder Bemi for Weed for Black Women, because it's like we both come from the same world. We literally used to be co-workers. We used to work at the same company. So we have that like background and understanding. We both have very similar work ethics in that way, where we're like, chaos, let's do it. But we work together to get things done. And I think it's like really nice to be able to have someone to like bounce ideas off of, or say like, hey, I need 3 days away from this account, and know that she'll take it over, which is really great.
Okay, so then while we're on the topic of Weed for Black Women, how did you all create this brainchild? Because I love it. I feel like there needs to be way more conversations around the legalization of cannabis and cannabis usage. And I think because Georgia is not necessarily a legal state, people shy away from it, but it's something that has so many benefits beyond just feeling good.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Weed for Black Women is actually like Bemi's brainchild, which I think is like, it's something I always make sure to tell people, because it literally came out of her brain. And without that, I would not even be in this position as her co-founder. But Bemi and I, we used to work for the same cannabis company in corporate. And corporate cannabis is very unique. I'll say that. Not in the Beyonce way, just unique. And it can be a very like intense environment, because a lot of cannabis companies, especially at that time that we started, this was like around 2017, 2018, cannabis was very new as an industry, growing very quickly, but new. And then regulations are constantly changing depending on what state you live in and what the federal laws are. So, it was just an intense environment for the both of us. And we both ultimately ended up leaving at different times, but we both ended up leaving, and but we maintained our friendship. And I remember Bemi, we were talking on the phone, just girl talk, random things, and she was like, all right, listen, I have an idea that I want to share with you. And she was like, I want to start a community for Black women who love weed or are in cannabis. And I was like, yeah, bitch, let's do that, because we didn't see a lot of that when we were working. It was a lot. It's a very white male dominated industry. And even when there are women-owned brands, they're always white women-owned, even though we're the ones, our community is the ones that are most impacted by, the war on drugs, laws around legalization and whatnot. So we just decided to, put our two marketing creative heads together. We launched February 14th of 2022, which is crazy to say that now. But we launched, and I think, initially we were like, okay, we don't know what the response is going to be, because like, it's like, we know weed loving Black ladies are out there, because like, we're weed loving Black ladies. We know, we've met other Black ladies who love weed, so that we know they're out there, but we don't know how to find them. So we were just like, let's put it out on social. And we launched with our campaign for the love of weed, because it was on Valentine's Day. And we got some of our friends who we know would feel comfortable talking about cannabis on camera. And that was our launch. And it's amazing now, because now we have 10,000 followers on Instagram, which is insane. And almost 50,000 on TikTok. We just hit 5K on Twitter. So the growth has been amazing. But Weed for Black Women's origin story.
I love that. I love that. So have y'all considered like, dabbling or kind of expanding into like having a dispensary or offering products or, like actually jumping in headfirst into the cannabis industry. Like, I know some of my favorite content creators I found because of that page. So have you all figured out, this is a next step, or is that something that, you even consider for the future?
Yeah, it is something that we considered. I think like it's funny because our company name is technically WFBW Ventures because we know that media isn't the only thing that we want to tap into. It's our priority right now, but we're definitely open. I think the beautiful thing about being two marketers is that we are very in tune with like what consumers are talking about, what they're interested in. I personally feel that like cannabis products are very saturated right now, and I would rather focus my energy in amplifying Black women-owned brands who are already have cannabis products and also dispensaries and stores who are selling those products. So it's a not to say it's a no, but it's also like, TBD
Right, not
possibility.
right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I noticed from your content, even just, researching you more, you live between Atlanta and Brooklyn. Where did this love for Brooklyn, New York come from?
I love this question. No one's ever asked me. It's funny. So I actually consider myself like an honorary New Yorker. My parents, when they migrated from Jamaica, they moved to Jamaica, Queens, New York, which is a lot of Caribbean people do. They just go to the Queens. And so I grew up going to New York every summer, but Brooklyn specifically, I knew nothing about. I started developing my own community there during the pandemic. Around that time, I just started connecting with more people online, which a lot of us were, and a lot of them happened to be creatives and people working in marketing. And I just found that like the majority of the people I were talking to were living in Brooklyn. I was like, why is everyone living in Brooklyn? Like, what's going on up there? And
What's in that
I was like, what's going on there? So I think around the time that like people were getting more comfortable with traveling again, and I felt more comfortable getting traveling more, I was like, let me just take a quick trip to New York. I'll book an Airbnb in Brooklyn, hit up all my friends and see what it's like. And this was like maybe 2021 or 2022, I think, or 2020, or early 2020s. And I remember I went up there and I was like, oh, I love this. And then
This is my spot.
I was like, I like this a lot. And then I just had like a great time up there. It was indescribable. And then I literally went back up a month later and I was like, I'm in love. Like, I love it here. Like, I just never felt so connected to a space that wasn't Atlanta, which was so odd to me. And it just this sense of like freedom that I felt. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be here all the time. So even though I don't live there, it's like I live there because I'm always there. So yeah, I'm in Brooklyn like every 2 months, and it's just like it's funny now to even hear myself talk about New York because it's like, yeah, you can just take the A down to I'm just like, why do I know these trains? Like, I don't live there.
You definitely are honorary native.
Yeah.
Okay, so what are like your top three spots that are either your favorite spots or top three spots you have to go every time you're there?
Number one, Brooklyn Tea. It's a Black-owned tea company, and they have one in Atlanta, actually. But they have this drink called the Wakanda Tea, which is kind of like a play on Wakanda, but it's like this purple drink, and it's so good. It's just like get an iced Wakanda, delicious. And then Happy Buds Brooklyn, which is in Bed-Stuy, one of my favorite neighborhoods there. That is a Black woman-owned CBD store. So I go there every time when I want to shop for weed, of course. And then I would also recommend, I'm trying to think what's one of my other favorite. Oh, Black Vintage Market. They're a like kind of vintage store in Bed as well. And you can go there and just find like the coolest knickknacks. But every year they release a new Juneteenth shirt, which is one of the main reasons I shop there. And I go around because I go to New York for Juneteenth and I always get the shirt. So those
Okay.
three places, yeah.
Gotta add that to the list. All right. You mentioned that your family is from Jamaica. So you are first generation Jamaican American. I need you to dead this conversation because I am from Stone Mountain, Georgia, and there are a lot of really good Jamaican restaurants. But in Atlanta, the conversation of who has the best Jamaican food in the city is never ending. And a few places I know of, I'm like, I go to, but what would you say? Someone that has lived here, because New York, I already know it's probably not even
Everywhere.
we're nowhere near that. I'm not even gonna touch that. But
Yeah.
for Atlanta, who do you think has the best Jamaican food?
My mama.
You know what?
It's funny because I literally do not eat at Jamaican restaurants because I can get it from any of my family members.
That's true. You know
So
what? The privilege.
it
Wow.
is privilege because every time someone asks me to recommend a Jamaican restaurant, I'm like, I couldn't. Like,
Not a roti, not a beef patty.
I was actually going to say this. The Caribbean bakery that I grew up going to is Royal Caribbean on Memorial Drive.
Yes, okay.
Up in Stone Mountain as well, so it's close there. And that is like the only Caribbean restaurant that I go to, but I go strictly for beef patties and cocoa bread and
Yeah.
hard-o bread. And that is it. Literally baked goods, including the patties and a cola champagne.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's literally I'm eating my mom's food or I'm not.
Oh, that must be nice. Gosh.
Delightful. One of my
Damn.
mom is she gonna make some bomb oxtail and rice and peas.
Oh, please don't play with my heart. Okay. Well, I guess the fight goes on. The Twitter warriors are just gonna keep it going. I just, I thought of that. So you just never know. Sometimes people are like, oh, I can give a suggestion, even if,
I
but
have none.
it's cool. It's cool. It's cool. Okay, so where you are right now, your career with M Dash Co, where do you see, or ideally, what is the trajectory for what you want to see for your career and how you continue to move over these next few years? Because coming out of the pandemic, things look totally different than what they looked like before. But then also, I think as we try to change, things are remaining the same, or at least going back to what was the norm. So how do you see that evolving as you evolve?
Yeah, so it's funny because I was thinking about this recently. Like, I'm very grateful for the journey that I've been led on by God, the universe, everyone in between. Because I just think it's like the path that I've always have supposed to been on. And it's funny because when I look back on a lot of my career, there's a lot of hurt and pain there and trauma, of course, but obviously working on my own healing, personal and professional development, like I think ultimately I realized like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And a large part of that, I think I used to blame on the work that I was doing. Like I would
Yeah.
just be like, being a social media manager sucks. It's a terrible job. Not to say that it's like not a very, highly skilled job, but it is. It's just that the industry doesn't really appreciate it. Like oftentimes social media managers are understaffed, don't have the resources that they need. But I think ultimately, in this era of my career, especially because I'm older, have a lot more experience than I once did, I'm realizing that the creative work and partnering with other creatives is what I love to do. So this era of my career is all about one, doing the work I enjoy, which is social creative direction, and then two, also creating opportunities for other creators who especially come from marginalized communities. So whether they're BIPOC, queer, immigrants, plus size, whatever that looks like. And also making sure that people know that they can define entrepreneurship in their own way. Because one thing I think is like when we think about entrepreneurs, everyone is like, yeah, they're starting their own business and they're working towards their like multi-million dollar year.
Yes.
That's not really my vibe.
Yes.
Like I'm a chill entrepreneur. Like I'm not with the hustle, 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 go, go. I like
Grind time, yeah.
exactly. Like I like to just do the work I enjoy when I want to. And it's not necessarily about waking up and making billions of dollars. Would that be lovely? Absolutely. Not gonna, not claim that into my life,
Right.
but I want to be able to do that on my own terms. And that doesn't look like hustling. So I think me ultimately just making sure that again, I'm doing work I enjoy on my own time in the ways that I want to, and inspiring others to do the same as well.
That's fair. Okay. So then, as we're talking about inspiration, where do you feel like you pull your inspiration from in, leading this business, but then also in the content that you create and the audience that you're trying to reach?
Black women,
Period.
black women are absolutely insane in the way that like It's I don't know if you've heard about this, but it's like it always makes me laugh. It's like I hear that kind of meme or that stereotype where it's like you can break up with a black woman tomorrow and then like the next day she'll have a master's degree. I just think
It.
very telling of who we are, because like I do think people like to like put this like, oh, black women are resilient, the strength, and it's like,
Yeah.
okay. A lot of us like to be soft girls, like leave us alone.
Please.
But I think even in our softness, like our abilities to reinvent ourselves, pivot, find new resources, find opportunities, create resources is just limitless. And there's not a time where I'm talking to a black woman and I don't feel poured into, felled, and that's something that I always want to reciprocate. So I think in any of the work that I do, I'm always thinking about how can I amplify Black women in the process, and how can I make sure other Black women are getting this opportunity? And one of the ways I do that is, knowing that my career journey inspires many, I make sure that anytime a Black woman hits me up and is like, hey, Jay, I just want to take some time to talk to you about this. Here's my calendar. Absolutely. And I'm never gonna say no unless I'm just like burnt out and tired. But I'm likely not gonna say no, because to me, that's like how I give back to a community that's building and lifting me up.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so then tying that into what is something that you've listened to or you read recently that has either stuck out to you or just been, provided a aha moment as you're, navigating life?
Oh, that's a good question. Ooh, okay, I'm gonna find this tweet that I just screenshotted, because I was like, yes, this is the life that I'm trying to live. Because I pull a lot of my inspiration from Black women, of course, but also from social media, because that's just like where the majority of the work that I do. Just found it. So someone tweeted, her at is whose Virgo mood be? So I'm assuming mood board for Virgos, but I'm a Pisces. So she said, I aspire to be a woman who wakes up and loves what she does for a living every day, travels often, is spiritually secure and financially stable. And I'm just like, that is the aspiration.
Yes, that's the goal.
That is the goal for my life.
Yeah.
Like, literally to wake up and be happy and content in everything that I'm doing. And I feel like that is how we live fulfilled lives. Like, if we're trying constantly trying to live our lives in service of other people, whether that be, our employers, our family, our friends, whatever those expectations are, it's like we really have to rid ourselves and think about what are the things that are going to be fueling me every day. And to me, that is my joy. That is like that is so important to me that I cannot sacrifice it. And I'm really glad to be in a place now where I feel comfortable in myself enough to go after that it by any means necessary, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. So then one more question, which is similar to this, but it really is, what do you do for self-care? How do you keep the boundaries, like what does that look like right now?
So, one, that Zaza, of course, the weed. Weed for me is like, of course, enjoyment, but it's also like a really spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Like, I know the language that a lot of us grew up with and then our parents grew up with about stoner culture, but like, I do think if you use weed intentionally, it can be a very spiritually like enlightening thing for you.
Yes.
Like, weed helps me see the truth in a lot of things, and especially internally, especially in the moments where like I doubt myself or I'm feeling like I'm not making wise choices. The weed will tell me. The weed will gather me.
The weed wisdom.
Absolutely. But also just, saying no to things is really important. Again, it took practice and took some time for me to feel more comfortable doing that. But now I'm realizing like saying no allows me to save my time and energy for the things that are more purposeful for me. And that means I really have to get out of the mindset of like operating out of fear or feeling like I'm not going to get something, so I need to take it, ridding myself of that allows me to practice self-care. So the weed and saying no.
Two very good, very important things. Okay, so then I have like a rapid fire list of things that I put together that we'll go through, and then we'll kind of wrap things up with a nice little bow. So rapid fire is just very quick. Indica or sativa?
Sativa.
Okay. Pre-rolls or edibles?
Pre-rolls.
420 or 710?
420.
Okay. Very quick, very easy. I'm always like, I'm always wondering, what are people thinking? What's their vibe? Are you a dabber? Like, do you do the concentrates and the oils? Like, it's a whole new world of,
Options. It's funny
yeah.
because a very hardcore edible girly, but I think these days I'm like to hit the blunt, hit the joint, give me a
Yeah. Yeah.
pre-roll.
It's something about it. I tell people, I'm like, every now and then after a long day of work, like I don't know if you've seen that picture that I feel like every black woman had or their parents had growing up, of the lady on the bed like this. I'm like, that I feel like is how I feel most days.
Oh, for
So
sure.
being able to just take the edge off with just a nice little pre-roll, I'm like, it's chef's kiss.
And I think a pre-roll is honestly very on brand for me because it's like I'm not doing the labor of rolling up my own joint. I'm just not.
No, hell no. I'm gonna let you know now.
Pre-roll, please.
Please. I'm a lady. Can you do this for me? Understood.
Exactly. I'm a
Understood.
lady.
Understood.
Absolutely.
Okay. So then I have a question as far as I sometimes I word it like, what do you feel has been your biggest failure or lesson that you've been able to learn from? Since you've embarked on this entrepreneurial journey, or just professionally, over the course of your career, what's something that felt like a moment of failure that was really a lesson?
Oh, for sure. Leaving corporate America. Like, I left corporate. When I quit my last job, even though I was the one le leaving willingly, I
Yeah.
cried tears and tears and tears because it's like you're essentially being, having to remind yourself that, like, despite what you've been told, you might need to do something different. And that is
Yeah.
absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I think I've cr cried every time I've quit a job, and I've quit all my jobs. Every job that I had, I quit them. And I cried each time. And it's not because it was like, oh my God, what I'm gonna do. It was just like, wow,
Reconciling.
reconciling the emotions, the feelings, especially when you put so much time and energy into something and you feel like you're not reaping what you sowed. And it's a shitty feeling. So I think, I definitely felt like I sucked in those moments. I was just like, the fact that I cannot survive in corporate America, there has to be something wrong with me. And then
Yeah.
ultimately, I'm just not meant to survive in corporate America.
Yeah.
It's hilarious that I didn't think about that at the time because it's like obvious. But again, it's like, it's a part of the process of figuring yourself out.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so this is kind of like the signature question of the show that I ask every guest that comes on. And really that is, what is a mantra or a piece of advice that you live by that you would give to either a young black woman, pursuing a similar endeavor, or a young Jade that now that you have that hindsight 2020 vision, that you would impart on someone to kind of help them navigate things just a bit easier?
Do everything in service of your own joy, which I know some people can perceive as selfish, but I think it's okay for people to be selfish, to an extent, as long as you're not hurting people in the process. But
Yeah.
I hurt some people in the process, and you deal with it. But I think, societal expectations, family expectations, especially coming from an immigrant family. Cultural expectations, I think a lot of that, and just expectations I put on myself because of conditioning and what we're taught culturally, it put me in a state that I didn't necessarily need to be in. And I think ultimately looking back, I'm like, did I need to get to the point where my physical and mental health was suffering? No. But did I know any better at the time? No. So I think since then, a part of my healing has been prioritizing my joy, which is why I will always tell everyone else to do it, because I think that's all what we're essentially trying to accomplish in life,
Yeah.
honestly. Like, We all want to be seen, valued, loved, heard. And in essence, that is joy. So we can be
Yes.
happy. So I think like when life is just giving you shit, fuck that bitch. That's also a mantra.
That's a mantra to live by for sure. Oh my gosh. Okay, Jay, this has been great. I truly am like I'm always wowed by guests, but the conversation is just so impactful, and I'm just glad that you were able to have the time to do this. Where can people connect with you on the interwebs, on Beyonce's internet? Because we're days away, hours away from Cowboy Carter at this point.
Which is crazy. Looking forward to it.
Oh.
But yeah, I'm Jade I. Powell on all channels, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Most people follow me on LinkedIn, and then you can find Weed for Black Women on Instagram, at Weed for Black Women. We are W for Black Women on TikTok and Weed for BW on Twitter because character limits. So all of them. And on LinkedIn, that's where you can also find out about Creator Tea Talk, which is my series for creator economy
Yes.
nerds.
This series is an ongoing series, so look out
It
for that. Look her up on Instagram to be able to find out when the next one is. By the time this episode airs, it probably will have, that one will have passed, but she still is continuing to do this.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you so much.
Again, I just want to thank you for being able to come on. And as we wrap this up, if anyone has any questions, I will have all of this information in the show notes. And I just look forward to connecting with everyone online. So this has been another episode of Since Y'all Don't Read. I'm your host, Mia Chantel. You can find me on Instagram at The Mia Chantel. You can find this podcast Instagram at Since Y'all Don't Read. And of course, if you want to listen to an episode, we're available on all digital streaming platforms or at MiaChantel.com. So again, thank you all for listening. And Jay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Bye.